following in the footsteps of our master. It's a phrase that we hear often, and it's something I think we could spend a little bit of time to meditate upon in this time. He must follow me. John 12:26. So today we'd like to look into this subject that will focus on the Master and following in his footsteps. We have these two parts to consider. Firstly, these words and teachings of our Master regarding discipleship. And then Brother Matthew will further look at what our Lord instructed his followers to take up his cross and follow me. We realize the Gospels provide a number of references to our Lord's words that say, follow me. This verse that we can start with is John 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honour him. Our Lord Jesus was throughout his 3.5 years ministry sending out the invitation from the early instances by the Sea of Galilee to the final week he was to walk this earthly condition as a perfect man. The ministry was to reveal the one who sent him, the one Almighty God, Jehovah. It was to provide miracles and healings that would be a foretaste of the future blessings in God's kingdom. It was to be as a light into this world and bringing believers out from the darkness. It was also to provide and reinforce the basis of God's great plan to mankind. We understand the ministry created a sifting along the way of the religious leaders and of the peoples who followed after the prince of the air, the evil one, Satan. The most critical aspect of our Lord Jesus' mission, however, as we've had in this convention, was the ransom sacrifice of the Master for the sin of Father Adam and all his posterity. The completion of the 3.5 years ministry was set for serving the Heavenly Father, and in it, the will of God, and in purchasing of all the families of the earth, present, past, and future. The Master fulfilled the Heavenly Father's will. So we might ask, what is the purpose for the calling? Let's look at a further passage. We understand there was a forerunner to Christ in that of John the Baptist. John 1:29. It reads, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the next day it refers us also in John in the verse 36 and 37. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. The hearers were expressing an earnest looking, longing, just as Andrew, Simon Peter, Philip and Nathanael began to follow the Master. In John 1:45-49, it contains some vital attributes in the calling. And it says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Our master here, in this example of drawing Nathanael, could explain his ability to read the heart and to state there is no deceit. Deceit is to cheat. It's that which gives a false impression, whether by an appearance, a statement or influence, and it has no place in Christ's followers. Another reference to the manifestation of our Master's influence on the people is found in Matthew 4 and 17. And reads, From that time Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We see the Lord's heart searching, desire to turn man from sin and turn to God. The Master would give his followers the image of God if they would learn of him. The purpose of the calling is described in the next two verses, Matthew 4, 18 and 19. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. That purpose being that the followers of our Master were going to learn a new trade, one that would be the commencement of the fishers of men. The calling to all who have a hearing ear, ones that had faith in God, ones that would see and endure trials and sufferings and go through siftings and overcome the wiles of the adversary. Ultimately, the early disciples were chosen at this time and later as the apostles of our Master were to fulfill much more in the establishment of the early church following the death of our Master. He was the teacher or rabbi. He exercised power and he spoke with authority. We see our Lord spoke the words of the Father and lived in perfect harmony with the Heavenly Father. His walk was expressed with times of prayer and close communion. He was blessed with the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and also his followers received the Comforter after Pentecost. Not only did the Lord Jesus have authority, he had received and gave instruction on purity and faithfulness. He lived as a perfect man, setting this example of his purity and faithfulness. We noticed how often large crowds drew after the Master in amazement or astonishment. The next reference that we note is in Matthew 8, 19 to 23. Then a scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. From this passage, we see how our Master, without a place to lay his head, he relied on the Heavenly Father, his faith and trust would endure. While the physical needs were not the priority, the spiritual teachings were. We have many experiences where we too could be like this scribe, confident, but unprepared to take the walk of faith. But to trust like the disciples needed to in the event of the stormy boat crossing over the Sea of Capernaum, we too become anxious, but must be willing to receive Jesus into our life permanently, for he says, "It is I, do not be afraid." Our Master gave continual instructions to the crowds and to his disciples. Can we just imagine what those scenes would have been like? Just what the people were hungering and thirsting for. Jesus explains in John 6, 27 to 29. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him, the Father, God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do, so that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." The true followers had to accept Jesus for their Redeemer and feed on him. Jesus was speaking of himself in verses 33 to 35. "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." The Master's words are faith strengthening. They instruct us not to go to other sources, but to follow him and be fed from his words and fountains of truth. Let's now turn to further verses in Matthew 9, 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth and said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Our Master was to fulfill God's words through the prophet Hosea, which is in Hosea 6 and 6. And he could heal as he was the great physician. Have we not all received God's mercy, his undeserved kindness, as sinners lost? We each learn and feel compassion as we follow in our Master's footsteps. The Lord Jesus had compassion on many. The love that he expressed in doing the Father's will indeed was that example for us. In Matthew chapter 19, we are told about the rich man who was seeking eternal life. And he came to Jesus, saying he kept the commandments. And then he asked, "What am I lacking?" Reading Matthew 19, 21 to 23. And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Treasures on earth are not to tie us down from striving to follow after the one who had not a place to lie his head." Further in verse 27 and 28, we are given a glimpse of our Heavenly Father's favour for service to him. Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Indeed, this would be an honourable position, that the Heavenly Father would be pleased to reward these in his spiritual family." So in this part of the symposium, we've looked so far at the number of examples that our Master has given us. We do want to be where our Master is. We do want to have the desire to serve him. As this invitation to the high and heavenly call will be completed, and those faithful in service to him will be honourable to the Heavenly Father. For Christ's work will be pleasing to Jehovah God. I'd like to close this part with John chapter 20 and 29 to 31. "And Jesus said to him," and that is Thomas, "because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Yes, life in his name. Amen.